Does this ever happen in your house? You have a pan of brownies or Rice Krispies or something, and you cut a square out of it, and you think, that was really good. I think I'm just going to have another one. And then you cut it, and you realize, oh, you know what, that cut wasn't really even with the cut next to it, so I should just square that off a little bit. And then you realize, oh, it's kind of on an angle, so I better just clear that side up a little bit. And then you look, and then there's this poor little piece of brownie sticking up on the top of the pan. You think, I just can't leave it there by itself. And, you know, before you know, you've consumed the whole pan of brownies. Doesn't happen at our house, I swear. That's kind of how I felt this week preparing for this message. I started to look at this page in front of me that said, understanding the power that we have through the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts. And I thought, okay, well, let me just go a little further into this. Let me take a little bit more. Let me consume a bit more. And all of a sudden, there's this huge wealth of things that I could say to you. There is so much that could be said here. So what I want to do this morning is try and focus our attention on this question. What is the power, and what is the power that we have through this Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit lives in us, and we have some sense that it enables us, or he enables us to do some things. Well, what exactly is that power? And I think that we can answer that under two headings. The Holy Spirit gives us power for living, and the Holy Spirit gives us power for ministry. So that's the plan here. The Holy Spirit gives us power for living. The Holy Spirit gives us power for ministry. And frankly, I think it is a very important reminder that we do say, the Holy Spirit gives us power. I think that it's quite easy for us to think about the Holy Spirit as a passive force, if we think about the Holy Spirit at all, even. And frankly, the Spirit is power in us. There's that phrase, the power of the Spirit appears like half a dozen times or so in the New Testament. And every time it's the same word, the dunamis of the Spirit. That's the word that we get our word dynamite from. So if you are a follower of Jesus, then the Holy Spirit is living in you. And if the Holy Spirit is living in you, then you have power in you. And that power is comparable to the power of dynamite, except that instead of blowing us to pieces, the Holy Spirit exercises this tremendous power in us to bring us up to maturity, to enable us to grow into the people that God intends for us to be. So, okay, let's take some time. I'm going to give you a bit of a list here. Think about the power that the Holy Spirit gives us for living. Right off the bat, we need to acknowledge that the Christian life begins by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is power for salvation. If you are a believer in Jesus, then you have already experienced this power, whether you realized it or not. Born of his Spirit, bought with his blood, we sang a minute ago, and it's exactly that. When we turn from sin and trust in God, we are born anew of the Spirit. He comes into us, he takes up residence in us, and starts the lifelong process of making us more like God. The fancy word for that is sanctification, being made sanctified, being made holy as God is holy. Paul talks about that a number of times, that process of the Holy Spirit giving us power to become godly. He wrote to the Corinthian church, for example, you were sinners, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and specifically by the power of the Holy Spirit of our God. To the Thessalonians, he wrote, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. And to Titus, he wrote what we use for our call to worship this morning. God saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out generously upon us. All different ways of saying the same things, the same thing. Our Christian lives begin when we commit our lives to God and he pours his Holy Spirit into us. We receive him And he begins this powerful work of cleansing and washing and renewing us. That's the power that the Spirit gives us for salvation. Now, if you recall, I said that this process of being sanctified, of being made more like God, it is a lifelong process. And that's power, then, for holy living. The power, the Spirit gives us power to continue in our lives. It's one thing to be washed and clean. It's quite another thing to continue living that cleansed life. And the Spirit enables us to do that. God promised way back in Ezekiel that he would give us his Spirit to help us to live in a godly way. He wrote, or God said in Ezekiel 36, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. God promised way back then that he would not leave us alone in trying to live a godly and good life. He promised that he would put his Spirit into us to live in ways that would enable us to thrive in the world that God has created. And that's what he did. Paul picks that up in Galatians. He says, listen, the Spirit is in you, so live by the Spirit. When you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the sinful nature. When you live by the Spirit, when you let him lead, he enables you to live in ways that will reflect the goodness of God. That's power for holy living. Frankly, I think that we can break that holy living piece down even further. First of all, I'll say this. The Spirit gives us power to understand God's values. Right? The average person would look at those laws and commandments that Ezekiel talks about and say, well, why should I listen to them? Why can't I decide for myself what's right and what's wrong? Jesus said back in John's Gospel, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will help you understand and appreciate the value of those commandments, so that you will see that those commandments are life-giving. They're not intended to limit, but to show the way to life. The Spirit comes and teaches us how to understand God's will and purposes. I know that in our culture, the instinct is to say, I don't want to listen to what somebody else says I should do in my life. But the Holy Spirit comes in for our benefit and shows us the way things really are. Shows us that God's laws and purposes are good, are meant to make us thrive. That's power to understand God's values. Next, power to overcome temptation. Right? You know those moments when you feel pulled to do something wrong? The Spirit gives us power to overcome it. Paul writes, if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. Talk about understanding how things really are. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. When you feel tempted to do something wrong, the Spirit is in you, giving you dynamite-like power to run away or to resist, or to refocus on something that is honoring to God. We just need to listen to him. We just need to let him do that work in us. That's power to overcome temptation. The Spirit also gives us power to love. You know what? I realize that many of us have coworkers and colleagues and classmates and clients who are a real pain to be around, right? The instinct is to want to avoid them or to treat them the way that they're treating us, which is not very nice. But the Spirit empowers us to treat those people with the same love and respect that God has treated us. And it's not just love. You know, Paul talks about when you follow the flesh, there's anger and harshness and all sorts of bad stuff. But he says, listen, if you are living by the power of the Spirit, then you're going to see love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. The Spirit bears that fruit in us and enables us to share that fruit with other people. The Spirit empowers us to produce good fruit and to love others. And finally, I would add, he empowers us to persevere. Look at Paul's prayers in Romans and Ephesians. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Paul realizes that in hard times, it can be easy to be discouraged. And so he prays, Holy Spirit, would you well up and strengthen these people to stand on your truth? Technically, the Spirit in us is a promise that God will bring us through whatever lies before us in order to give us the eternal life that he promised. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He has anointed us, he has set his seal of ownership on us, and he has put his Spirit in our hearts, what? As a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. The Spirit in you is God saying, I will take care of you. That's power for perseverance. Let's recap. The Spirit gives us power for salvation, power for holy living, power to understand God's values, power to overcome temptation, power to love, power to persevere. How do we access that power? Dan? There's nothing fancy about accessing the power of God. And you don't even need like a mini USB cable to plug into it. There's not a telephone hotline that you can call to get the power either. She's on call this week, so there must be something going on at the hospice. To access the power of God, we lean consciously and prayerfully on the Spirit in every situation. Lean on the Spirit. Say, Spirit, you lead me in this. Charles Stanley writes, every day ask the Holy Spirit to fill your life anew with his life-giving, joy-producing, comforting, guiding, renewing presence. Every day ask the Holy Spirit to fill you anew with his love, his peace, his truth. Every day ask the Spirit to live, to fill you to overflowing with his compassion to others. When we lead on the Holy Spirit, we're led to pray to the Holy Spirit. Yes. Amen. Amen. I tried to work this out in my own head, too. Yeah, man, good segue. When you feel tempted, ask the Spirit to give you power to resist. And then let him answer you. Sometimes I think that the biggest obstacle to this power working is me in my life. You know, I need to say, okay, back off here. Spirit, work. When you don't know what to do next, ask the Spirit to lead you into all truth. When you really just want to snap and chew that person's face off because they're being so mean, ask the Spirit to help you to love them. And let me say this. If you are a child of God, if you are a follower of Jesus, then the Holy Spirit is in you. If you are a believer, the Spirit is in you. Nod if you hear me and agree. The Spirit is in you. Even if it doesn't feel like it, he is there. In a way, the Holy Spirit is like our heart. When we're out in the middle of the world doing things, we never really pay attention to our heart. But if we stop, slow down, and listen, dum 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 dum. It's there. It's at work. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. He is in us, calmly, consistently pumping spiritual vitality out into our very being every moment of the day. The Spirit is in you. He gives us power for living. Now, in addition to that, the Holy Spirit gives us power for ministry. And that's where this question of spiritual gifts comes in. Obviously, we've been jumping around a lot in the Bible, and so what I want to do now is just camp out in one passage. If you have your Bibles open, go there now. It's 1 Corinthians 12. We're gonna camp on 1 Corinthians 12 for a minute just to talk about spiritual gifts and the power for ministry that God gives us. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, Paul writes, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same Spirit works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." If you have your own Bible, put a note beside that one. "To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of those tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines." The Holy Spirit gives us power for ministry through spiritual gifts. That comes clearly out of that. Let me make three observations. First, every believer has a spiritual gift. That's verse 7. "To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given." That's verse 11. "He gives gifts to each one, just as he determines." That means that if you are a follower of Jesus, you have a spiritual gift. No doubt. You have a spiritual gift. That means that the Holy Spirit has given you a unique supernatural ability for ministry in this world. It's easy to think that spiritual gifts are for super Christians, but what does verse 7 and verse 11 say? Each one gets a gift. Second, each gift is different. The Holy Spirit has not made us as a church a box of screwdrivers. He has given each of us different power for different purposes. You can see that in verses 8 and 9, again in verse 28, in Ephesians, in Romans, there are all sorts of gifts that God gives through his Spirit to enable us to do ministry. Romans 12, for example, gives us another really clear list. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Do you see those as spiritual gifts? Each one of us has one of those gifts. Third, those gifts that you are given are explicitly given as power for ministry. My gift is not to benefit me, my gift is to benefit you. Your gifts are not to benefit you, your gifts are to benefit one another. That's verse 7. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? For the common good. For the building up of the church. The Spirit spreads his gifts widely through the church so that each of us would put our gifts to use, furthering the ministry of the church. That's why a congregation that leans really heavily on their pastor to do all of the work of ministry is not going to get very far. Because the pastor doesn't have all the gifts. The gifts are spread throughout the pews, and as each of us do the work together, that's how we build up the church, each person doing what they're gifted to do. In terms of, let's see, you each have a gift. Do we have it up there? Yeah. Every believer has a spiritual gift. Every gift is different. Every power is for ministry. So what's your gift? Do you know? How? How do you know? If you are a follower of Jesus, then the Bible says you have a spiritual gift, at least one. And the Spirit has determined which gift you will have. He has intentionally picked one for you. It's not like he put a dime into one of those machines at the grocery store that pops out a little capsule and you get whatever comes to you. The Spirit has specifically given you and you and you and you a gift. How do you know what that is? Okay, I think that J.D. Greer is onto something when he says that spiritual gifts typically lie in the confluence of what we're passionate about, what we're good at, and the affirmation of others. You can see the diagram there. He says affinity, ability, and affirmation. And where those overlap, that's probably where your spiritual gift lies. What you're good at, what you're passionate about, what other people affirm you for, in the overlap of those things, that's probably where your spiritual gift lies. There are lots of spiritual gifts tests that you can do online as well. And I made some paper copies, so if anybody's interested, it's got a description of gifts, it has some questions, and then you fill it in, and it kind of gives you a sense of what your spiritual gift might be. I would encourage you to find one online, or you can take one of these home, spend a few minutes with it. Really helpful for helping you to have some sense of where you are supernaturally gifted to serve, to serve in the church. Now, that being said, I also read something this week called Letting Your Gift Find You. And I think that there's a really compelling point that the author makes here. This book was really helpful to me. It says The Beginner's Guide to Spiritual Gifts. You know, I started in my seminary theology textbook, and then I was like, okay, let me dial this back a little bit. Really helpful book. Totally not the kind of guy you would expect to talk about spiritual gifts. Very conservative, very comes from a reform background, Calvinist, but super charismatic and really wise and thoughtful on this. He really pressed me to think more about the power of the Holy Spirit working. And he actually writes this, Sam Storms, "If we spend less time searching to identify our spiritual gifts and more time actually praying and giving and helping and teaching and serving and exhorting those around us, the likelihood greatly increases that we will walk headlong into our gifting without even knowing what happens." So he says, look for a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. Be alert to the cry for help and answer it. Listen for the voice of God and speak it. Identify someone's weakness and overcome it. Look for what's missing and supply it. When you do, the power of God, the energizing, enabling, charismatic activity of the Holy Spirit will equip you, perhaps only once, but perhaps forever, to minister hope and encouragement to those in need. So if you're still wondering what your gift might be, act first. Ask later. I think he's onto something. Because if you think about it, the majority of the spiritual gifts equip us to do things that we're called to do as Christians anyways. To encourage, to give, to serve, to show mercy. Those are all things that we are, as believers, called to do. A spiritual gift, as one of my seminary profs used to say, is just an amplified version of those activities. It's an amplified gift to order us to be specifically effective in those areas. So really, if you are seeking first the kingdom of God and participating in ministry, then the Spirit will naturally lead you into the area in which you've been gifted. Whew. Do you feel like you've eaten a whole pan of brownies now? Lots to think about, right? But I think it boils down to this. And if this is what we take away from this, I think it's good. If you are a believer, the Holy Spirit is in you. It says it here. The Spirit's in you. The Spirit gives you power for life. The Spirit gives you power for ministry. He is actively giving you the ability to live a God-honoring life, an abundant life where you thrive in the world that God himself has created. And he has given you power to participate in effective and kingdom-extending ministry. Let's pray together. God, first of all, thank you for making us your children. We're forgiven. We turn from enemies into friends, from orphans into beloved children. We turn from natural beings to supernaturally powered people. Thank you for allowing us to participate in your ministry in this world. You have left your Spirit here, not simply to work at random, but through us in the world. God, I pray that through this week, you would stir in us to see moments where we need the Holy Spirit to do his powerful work in us. Spirit, spur our hearts to come to you, to lean on you, to pray to you, to rely on you when we feel tempted or when we feel like lashing out or when we feel unsure about your will in a particular circumstance. Holy Spirit, teach us and lead us and set our lives on fire with your goodness. And Spirit, in terms of your gifts, I pray that you would implant in each person's heart an assurance that you have empowered them for ministry. God, I pray that you would give each of us a sense of what it is that you have equipped us to do as your children. Lord, I pray that you would empower each person here to sense that they can contribute something meaningful and good to the ministry of this church. Not just to listen, but to help one another to grow. God, I pray that you would give us gifts of service and of helping and of joy and of prophecy and of understanding. Father, help us to use these gifts that you have given us. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.